gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Apologies for last week, people. Some things came up and I was unable to record. But we are here now. And I think we should just go ahead and get started with a little NBA playoff talk. You saw how the game of the day ended between Boston and Brooklyn.
Hello, Brooklyn. Hello, Brooklyn. How you doing? Okay, I'm sorry I get distracted either. Yes. I don't like Boston. Just because you know why I don't like Boston.
You know.
But this is one of them Boston teams, like that team that had Jesus Shuttlesworth and them on it. Hopefully y'all get it. If y'all don't, it's okay. Because it was just like, oh, they ain't got some, you know, somebody you don't like on the team. But I want them to beat the Nets.
Yeah, as do I. No, we were talking pre-show about who could make it to the finals. I forgot about the Heat. Miami could be they could make another run.
Yeah, they don't have no answer for Giannis, though.
That's the one thing. I don't want to make too much out of their beatdown of Atlanta. I think Atlanta came off of their playing game, feeling themselves a little bit. And Miami put them down real quickly in game one.
And I guess I'm just acting like I don't trust James Harden. He ain't showed that he got no clutch in him. So I guess that's why I ain't really thought nothing about Philly. Okay, who in the same bracket? Because I don't, you know, this ain't like no NCAA bracket. So if the Bucks beat the Bulls in that series, who they play next? The Heat or the Sixers? Or the Celtics play the Sixers? Or,
you know, I'm trying to find.
Because I just ain't looking. They need to do a college kind of bracket so I can know.
Yeah, they
don't. Okay, they might have one. Let's see. Let's say bracket. Let's see. Okay, they got one. Okay, so Miami is in Atlanta. So if Miami beat Atlanta, they play the winner of the Sixers Toronto game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes
and then the Bulls, I meant the Milwaukee play the winner of the Dog, I just act like Chicago ain't gonna have no chance.
You just threw the Bulls.
But Milwaukee play the winner of the Boston Brooklyn series.
Okay.
And then whoever win them two, you know, go to the final. For the conference finals. Then on the West Coast, Phoenix is going to beat your people's New Orleans. The Pelican. I just hate the Pelican. Y'all need to get a petition, Brian, to get this Pelicans off of y'all name. Okay, and then that team pay Dallas, Utah. If what's his name don't come back, Utah going to win that.
Yeah, Luka being out hurt. Well, he's supposed to play. He's supposed to be playing soon. I don't know if it's
going to. And he got something hurt, that like a calf muscle. You know that ain't, child, he's going to play and make one move and be like hobbling off the court. Golden State, Denver, I say Golden State. And although Minnesota beat Memphis, I told you earlier, I was rooting for them, Memphis, since the Lakers are garbage. Yeah,
so, I think Memphis will get it back right and get it back together and take control of that series.
And if Curry, I'm going to tell you, it'll be a good series. If Curry can get his, you know, himself right, that Golden State Memphis series should be fun. And that Phoenix Golden State I think Golden State will win just because they got the experience over them. But because the times that Phoenix and Golden State have played this season, it's been close. Like, what, Brian, what's tooth and nail? Does that mean you biting your fingernail? Is that why people say tooth and nail?
Because yeah, I'm assuming they talking about you biting your fingernails, nervous, got you all okay. Nervous.
Cause yeah, I just thought of it. I was like, tooth and nail. And I'm just saying this, and then hit one of these sayings. We ain't going down that road again. But tooth and nail. It'll be a nice series. And they might beat each other up. Well, that ain't nothing to say if Miami and Milwaukee play each other, they wouldn't beat each other up over there on the East either.
Yeah.
Well, at least nobody's like knows. You know, sometimes you'd be like, oh, you know who's going to win, but nobody knows.
What is your opinion? I mean, I'm going to give mine, but what is your opinion on whether or not Zion should be allowed
to Zion right down. Now? Zion needs to lose another 50, 100 pounds. Okay, it's probably not going to be 100. But he needs to drop at least another 50. Because although he bouncy and springy and did a windmill dunk, sit him down.
Posting, he keep posting different videos of himself doing all these things.
Because you all are not going to the championship. You have right. to be. I always go back to Grant Hill at the free throw line where he can't stand on that ankle. And if he had just, they weren't about to win no championship. Y'all wasn't even in the conference finals. You in the first round playing hero ball, and it just derailed your career. Remember when he hurt his ankle and couldn't hardly even stand on it to shoot a free throw and yeah. just stayed out there trying to play? And then he was never the same. If he had a sat down somewhere and been like, okay, I'm hurt. I mean, I can't play. It's one thing if you were in the finals. You limp out there like Willis Reed and play 2 seconds and then sit down. Because I don't think people realize Willis didn't play that much of that game. He just hobbled out there.
Mm-mm, he hobbled out there and played hero ball.
He played like a few seconds and then, yeah. Okay, he might have played a few minutes. But then he ain't played no more. And I think he should sit out. That's my answer.
Yeah,
that's my
final answer, Bob. And for the same reasons. That you know, this was not going to be a championship run for them. And I feel like he should sit out, get him some, lose his little weight and get himself together and ready for a run next year.
Don't because, he look like he got bigger? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, he did. Yeah, he definitely did. But I think the acquisition of McCollum is proven to be a really good thing for New Orleans. Him and Brandon Ingram seem to pair well together. So, yeah, New Orleans has some things to think about because I don't think Zion wants to be there. So,
this is what I would do if I was New Orleans. I would be like, okay, bring him in, bring his agent in, his family, whoever his people are. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, do you want to be here? Like, don't tell us what we want to hear. Do you want to be here? And he might say, no, I would rather go somewhere else. Okay, what team would you like to go play for? And he say the Knicks or something. Because people keep saying that he wanted to be drafted by the Knicks.
All right.
So I'll be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You have got to show, like, that you can play a full season because people don't not going to want to trade for you. And if you will sign you, you know, because he's going to come out of his rookie year and go into that first big contract. But if you want to move, we'll be happy to work with you to make wherever you want to be happy because we don't want you here if you don't want to be here, if you're not going to be happy.
Right.
So lose the weight. Show that you can play this next season. We'll make a trade to get you to where you want to be. Because they already winning with McCollum. And if you make a trade to the right place, I ain't saying it's the Knicks. He might say the Knicks. But if you make a trade to the right place, you might can get another piece that works with that this little unit you have right now. And somebody like the Knicks, they got some little pieces. that might fit. Cam Reddish, he haven't worked out, but people kept saying, you know, how good he was supposed to be at Duke. You know, he was kind of like the third wheel, for lack of a better word. Ain't that his name, Cam Reddish? When they didn't he play with them at Duke?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, get some more young talent and, or find an old head, not real old, but somebody, you know, to go along with McCollum that can bring some veteran leadership to the team and maybe get a pick and let him go.
Yeah, I mean, you say he needs to prove that he can play a whole season. The Lakers seem to be willing to take people that proves that they can't play whole seasons, and you see how that worked out for them.
Well, allegedly, this is one of their nice transition. This is one of their this year, whoever they bring in, that they are trying to play, bring in people that are not have a history of being hurt. But the interesting thing with LA, people that don't normally necessarily be hurt come there and get hurt. Well, people that's supposed to be able to shoot come there and can't shoot. Am I making this up? Is this just me?
Maybe it's the what it's not the Staples Center anymore. What's
the crypto arena?
Yeah.
Crypto.com. I guess I need to say the crypto.com arena. Crypto said, don't put that on us. We just got we just bought the naming rights.
Now that they saying about it.
Because people how many teams, Brian, can be that garbage awful and stay on the front page of the news? Like, usually they'll be buried in the back page with a little paragraph, Lakers lost. The end.
Yeah.
They're on the front page of the paper.
That's the Lakers power of the Lakers. The Lakers and LeBron.
And LeBron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But reason I wanted to bring them up is I want to talk about a couple of different things I saw over the weekend, different packages and
hold on.
Possible movements for for Russell. What's...
This is the funny piece. This is what I thought you was going to lead with. You might lead with it, but I'm going to just say it anyway. Master P said, if you want to win, bring me in.
No.
And I just say that because he down there in New Orleans in your neck of the wood. And I was just like, Master P, you ain't never coached no. What are you doing?
Do you all remember when he tried to be a player? He tried to be a, I think he tried out for, I can't remember who he tried out for.
No, he made a team. Didn't he make it like a, he didn't make a whole team, you know, but he played for a little while.
Yeah, I feel like he was on the roster for a minute.
I'll say this, he better than Common.
Well, the worst basketball actor of all time.
He better than Common.
Yes. So, shout out to Just Right. Anyway.
And shout out to White Man Can't Jump. Even though apparently Wesley Snipes couldn't shoot, he could dribble and look like he could play.
Oh, yeah. That's very well known for people that followed that movie. You know, they had to basically teach Wesley how to shoot.
But he said that he could dribble, but he couldn't shoot.
Yeah, that's the part I didn't know. I thought they had to teach him how to play basketball, period. But he did say that he could do certain things. He just wasn't a shooter, which is hilarious because...
And he could talk trash.
Yes. You know, apparently they're coming out with a remake.
Don't do it. Don't do this.
And Jack Harlow, you have to look him up because I know you ain't gonna know.
I'm about to say I don't know who that is.
He is gonna play Woody Harrelson character, and then
don't do this, people.
Old boy that was in Power, that played 50 Cent's son, is gonna be Wesley's Sidney Dean.
Okay, yeah, Jack Harlow, never seen you. Okay, who you said the other kid name is?
His name is Sinqua. I think his last name is Wells.
Sinqua Walls.
Walls.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I forgot he got killed off so fast that mm-hmm. he was on there. Okay,
his daddy Sinqua. Shot him, yes.
Don't do this.
I
go ahead with the Laker talk. Don't do this, people.
Yeah, I say leave
that alone. Let that alone. Don't
do
it.
That's one of my favorite movies. I can recite it word for word. Anyway.
Because if you're going to do it, don't do it as a remake. Do it. Do a
as part its own two. Thing.
Yeah. Because Wesley had about 50 kids, didn't he? She had 3 or 4 kids in that house.
She did have a bunch of kids running you, around the house.
Hey, you can make one of them kids. make somebody send quiet son in. Well, he grew up and that's just like his daddy. Let's go to round two if you just going to do it. Don't do a remake.
Vista View.
Because you're not going to find another Puerto Rican that nailed it like,
No. And did you see
what's her name?
That was supposed to be a white lady and supposed to be a white woman. And she came and in like, and read for it and was so good.
Dude was like, well, will you take a Puerto Rican? Because apparently he couldn't find nobody that he thought fit. And when she read, she nailed it. And it all is history. Okay, I keep distracting you. Go ahead. You said the Lakers song.
Okay, first package up for Russell is to send him back to Houston for a pick and John Wall.
No.
That's not what we're going for.
John Wall injury prone. I'm telling you, I'm just going by the parameters that allegedly Kurt Rambis and the... Oh, I'm sorry. I was about to say Jenny Buss. I don't know who running this ship, but they running it into the ground. Just like this ship that keep going... Okay, I'm getting distracted. Go ahead.
And then the next package I saw was basically them giving up Russell Westbrook and every first round pick for the next 3 years to Portland for Damian Lillard.
That's not going to happen.
Well, it would be Russell 2020. Okay, no, I lied. Not the next
29
first round picks and then a 2026 pick swap. Yeah, that don't seem like it's plausible. There was another one I saw that was a lot. I can't find it. I don't know where I saw him.
If Dame wanted to play, I would take him, though. I would do that deal. I wouldn't do that Gordon Haywood mess with the North Carolina or the other young guard that they got.
What about this Indiana package?
But Brogdon and what's his name? Andrew Prong.
Is Buddy Hill to Indiana?
Mm-hmm. He got traded.
I did not know this.
He got traded.
Man, that's how much I watched the NBA this year. Him and Miles Turner and Brogdon, that would be a nice little
But they can they group. Stay on the court?
Mm-hmm. And then I don't think anybody wants to go to Detroit right now, but you could send Russell to Detroit. For Jeremy Grant and Kelly Olynyk.
I don't think Detroit going to do that. That's unless they just trying to get off of his contract. Jeremy Grant, doesn't he have like, this is year to re-sign or he a free agent or something like that?
Yeah. If you did that would at least assure you something.
Grant think he a starter. Like he a superstar. I ain't gonna say superstar, star. Well,
him and Olynyk are both big men, so that would at least assure you in case Anthony Davis went down.
When Anthony Davis go down? Oh, I'm sorry. Not bad.
San Antonio. I had not heard this one. Sending him to San Antonio, sending Russell in a 2027 first round pick to San Antonio for Doug McDermott, Josh Richardson and Romero Langford.
You can squash that. San Antonio wouldn't even do a deal. That's why we ain't get Paul. Not Paul George. What was the guy? Was it Paul George? No, it was somebody they had, and they was like, we don't do no deals with the Lakers.
Yeah, and then the one for Gordon Hayward and sending him to Charlotte. So.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Gordon been hurt all. I don't know what Michael Jordan gave him all that money for in the free agency.
Well, might be
jumping the gun.
Bless his heart, might be doing some things as an executive.
What jumping the gun mean? when you jump out and sprint out too fast for the gun. I'm gonna let that one ride. Okay, go ahead.
No, Mike do some suspect things as an executive. He getting better.
Well, the best thing that happened to him is Carmelo little brother. I said Carmelo. Melo fell into his hands. Lonzo's little brother fell in his hands.
Yeah.
Because he at least put some people in the seats because he's exciting to watch.
Yeah, and they have been doing better. I mean, they did have a nice little run this year. That boy from Michigan State, Miles Bridges. Yeah, he can play. And Mikael Bridges out in Phoenix, but Miles.
Are they related? Are they good? Or something?
I said it like they were. I don't know.
Oh,
now that you ask, I think they are. Let me see.
So yeah, the Jenny Buss is bringing the program down. People can say, "Oh, well, she won a championship just almost 2 years ago," and that's all she's done. And that might not seem. Oh, people like, "Oh, well, it's team that don't have them," but when you got 17 of them, that's not that big. Like
somebody yelling at us right now, but that's fine. Mikael and Miles are no relation.
Okay, they have no picks in the next several years. They got all their money stacked up on three people. And if they can get rid of Westbrook, like it makes no sense to do that. I don't know who came up with these. I know why they call themselves saying, you know, you get these super max deals and all. But did they not realize once you started going into the 30s and 40 millions of dollars that if you have two players, you're going to use up most of your salary on two people at some point? Did nobody foresee that?
Somebody should have been had the foresight on that
to say this might seem like a good idea trying to keep people, you know, where they, you know, not the little markets, really, that's all they was concerned about. But you do know once you get out to 40 million, even if you just have one star, he eating up a chunk of your salary. Because you know you only have to be a star, you got people like the center in Denver, Utah, he got a huge contract. He not that good to me, but I mean, he a good defender.
I just thought about another trade I saw, possibility. Since Jordan Poole has become such a star out in Golden State, and Klay Thompson's contract is coming up, there was talk that there was a way you could send Klay Thompson to L.A. I don't think they would do it, but send Klay Thompson to Lakerland.
Well, the question is, what are they going to do when these contracts come up? You're going to wind up letting somebody go. If Poole keeps shining, you're going to have, if you re-sign Klay Thompson for his next Supermax, Curry already making a stack.
Yeah, you're gonna have
when
to make
Green
some decisions.
When is Green coming up for some money?
Yeah, you're gonna have to make some decisions on who you.
And then not even just Poole. What's the other young kid they got that's like the bunny rabbit? Let me look at their roster.
Oh, you talking about Toscano? The what's his name? He's somebody's son. He's a former player's son.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that boy is an athlete.
And so, you know, once he, I think he might be on a rookie thing, but once he come off of it, like, he keeps showing flashes more and more.
And that's all you got to do to get a big contract in the NBA.
You 6'8", great size, athletic, which means you can defend. I don't know how well he can shoot, but he 19. And so out of the Dominican Republic of the Congo. And so his contract will be up in 2 years. Well, he'll get the big one. So they're going to run out of money. Like these smacks and stuff, you know, they do have it set where I guess you get bird rights or whatever on people and you can keep them and it don't take as much of a hit on your salary cap. Anywho.
I'm glad you brought up birds' rights, because that leads us right into transitioning to talk about the TV shows. Give a little update.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
On Winning Time, The Rise of the Laker Dynasty. Last night's episode gave us our first look at the first time Larry and Magic played each other. And I didn't realize that they struggled so much once McKinney went down with his bike injury and basically missed the rest of that season, and Paul Westhead took over. I had no idea that they struggled so much. I didn't know Paul Westhead was that weak. And, you know, this is a dramatization, so maybe it wasn't as, you know,
the way they portray it.
But, you know, Pat Riley comes out.
Can you go back to Pat Riley's story where he looked? I ain't seen it because I ain't watched it. But can you go back to where he looked like he walking down the street looking sad? He looked like he had the worst day ever or something on that picture.
Oh, listen, first of all, Adrian Brody is the wrong person to play Pat Riley. That's the only like person that they pick that I really just don't like to play the characters they're playing. Because Pat Riley is 6'8", 6'9". He's a big old guy.
Pat Riley ain't 6'8".
What is he?
He might be 6'3" or 6'4".
Is he not? Oh, I thought he was taller than that.
No, he not.
But anyway, so yeah, I didn't realize Pat Riley was Chick Hearn's right hand man for a minute. That was his first job with the Lakers.
Make sure.
He was sitting there, and I didn't know Chick was such a jack arse.
Oh, Pat 6'4", but I didn't think he was that big. Yeah, he's 6'4".
And I don't know. In my mind, I made him bigger than that. Anyway,
he's bigger than life, Brian. Go ahead.
Yes. So. I didn't know Pat had played a role with old Chickster, and basically was his right hand man, and Chick didn't like it. So Chick,
yeah, it's a whole crazy story how he wound up going from being a commentator, announcer, whatever you call it, and then the next thing you look up, he's a coach, and not just a coach, a successful coach.
Well, they show the beginnings of that in this episode, because Paul Westhead had just asked him to come join his staff while McKinney's out, you know, and they're hoping that McKinney comes back soon from his bike injury. But as we know, you know, in the future, that he never does come back. So Westhead brings him on the staff, and
can we go back one beat? What happened to Jerry West culture? He quit.
He quit. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. He quit and just kept his job as GM.
Okay.
So here we are. We done added Riley to the staff, and the players are not really responding to Paul Westhead. Westhead's kind of acting like he's scared to do anything or say anything, and. He's a great basketball mind, but he don't have that to, you know, say what he needs to say, do what he needs to do. So they're on this little road trip. They go to Indianapolis. They go to Indiana, lose to the Pacers. They go to Detroit, who at the time was the worst team in the league, lose to Detroit in Magic's Michigan homecoming. They made a big deal about that. And then the last game on this road trip was the Detroit game was Christmas Day. Last
Detroit basketball. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Last game on the road trip was Boston. First time Magic and Larry were going to play each other at Boston Garden. They had the whole big spectacle. They had the press conference where all the press was asking Larry questions. And when they got to Magic, said, "What do you think about Larry?" That was hilarious. The title of this episode was Invisible Man, and it was perfect because it fit like a bunch of different characters in the show. Paul Westhead being invisible to his team because, you know, basically he was just there. Magic being invisible when it came to playing against Larry because the press was only worried about Larry. Just a bunch of different characters. Cookie feeling kind of like, you know, Magic only wanted her to come to the game in Detroit just so he could show off. And it was a bunch of different characters that did. Pat Riley feeling invisible with Chick Hearns. It fit a bunch of people.
Well, he should. He was just an announcer. What about what about Cookie? It's the person that I saw playing Cookie. I was like, she's not selling it to me. But do you feel like she's selling it?
She's next after Adrian Brody. Adrian Brody is doing his best job. He thinks he is. I mean, he's a great actor, but I didn't think he was. You know, I just don't think he's Pat. He don't feel like Pat Riley to me. But yeah, Cookie's actress is the next one on my list that I just. Okay. And I don't know. We just know a little bit about Cookie here and there, but she just don't. She don't seem to fit what we know.
I didn't get the one. She don't favor her in any shape, form, or fashion.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that's where it stopped. And I was like, well, I mean, y'all already don't have Magic looking like Magic, but this guy, I bought in on that one episode I watched. I was like, okay, he all right. He could, you know, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he's very good. I like him.
His smile is okay enough but then I was like, okay. Like you, I was like, Pat Riley, this dude don't look nothing like no Pat Riley. And I can't even imagine him, what they gonna do to slick his hair back and have him in these nice suits that's gonna help his look in it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I can't wait till that happens, because maybe I'll change my mind then.
Because you gotta pull that look off. Like, he was clean.
Yeah, because the first game he jumps on, the first game he actually joined him, I think was the Boston game that we actually see him as an assistant coach, and he was wearing a sweater. I said, that ain't what Pat Riley dresses like. But maybe that was back in 1979.
I'm hard pressed to believe you would go from, or maybe he had a persona. He was in Hollywood and he was just, because how you go from a sweater to a money suit, Brooks Brothers suits or whatever he was wearing?
Maybe he decided he needed to step up. But no, it's getting very good. We're fixing to fall into Spencer Haywood's drug problem. You can see that coming up, because he's getting frustrated with his lack of playing time, and he's in the media talking about Westhead, and you could just see that Richard Pryor showed up on episode before last, and it was what's his name? They're supposed to play him in the biopic. What's the comedian's name?
Playing Richard Pryor.
Yeah, he's supposed to play Richard Pryor in the biopic, but
the light skinned dude that played Uncle Buck.
Yes. What is his name? Why am I blanking?
I don't know, but I know who you're talking about.
Yes. Hang on.
Uncle Buck didn't even make it to second.
Mike Epps. Mike Epps. Yes. So. he came in on the episode before last playing Richard Pryor, and there were some scenes in there where there was some drugs being done, and you know, and they had offered them to Spencer Haywood. Shout out to the Mississippi guy. I don't think he took me. They didn't allude to him taking them, but they alluded to him basically thinking about it at that point. So yeah, as we know. He's going to get himself messed up on drugs here soon, and mess.
So, are they doing any implications that the league is having a drug problem? Have any of that come out?
That's come up, because people are wondering why Jerry Buss wanted to buy the Lakers in the first place, because the league is just
a mess.
Yeah. We saw in the first episode, they kept making the notion that it was black. black.
How they show Magic turn the Nike man down?
Yes, that happened a couple episodes.
So let me tell y'all something, people. This I found
the
this out.
The guy that played Phil Knight actually looked a lot like Phil Knight back in those days. That was pretty good casting.
Magic, Mr. Like, Magic could be retired right now. I didn't know this. Somebody else told this story, because apparently they watching the series, because Brian bent my eyes for this show. Magic getting ready to sign a contract. He, you know, at the shoe deal thing, and Converse want him, and Nike, a upstart, is like, look, we can't pay you, but we'll give you royalty, like stock in the company. And then somebody said he said something like a dollar. I was like, that sounded asinine, but it was a low price that he could pay. But it wasn't what Converse wanted to give him, 50 million or some crazy number.
Yeah. Anywho. Yeah. Which I mean, Converse was the big deal back then.
Converse was the shoe. That, you know, they coming out for all the 70s, all they wore was Chuck Taylors. They, you look at most people's feet. I don't know how them things, then a bunch of people didn't have broken ankles anyway. Right. So, you know, we'll give you a chunk of the earnings and investment royalties. It wasn't royalties, stock in the company. Stock in the company, which increased with every year. Now, fast forward. Now we know that Nike is a $1 billion company. You know what? How much rich he would be if he had a signed that deal?
Yeah,
with him?
Because I mean, he could have been Michael.
He wouldn't have been Michael because he just the Air Jordan thing, but he would have been getting money off of Michael.
I mean, yeah, because he even asked on the show in the Converse meeting when he's going to sign with them. He even asked, hey, can we get Magic on the shoe or whatever? Because Nike, Phil Knight, you know, had offered him to get his name on the shoe. And everything.
So,
and the guy's like, oh, yeah, we'll run it up the ladder. We'll see what they say.
So, apparently Magic still kick himself in the butt because, mm-hmm. you know, he was a poor guy from, you know, a small place and didn't know. Like, he just took what was in front of him and didn't have the... Nobody knew Nike was going to blow up, but even though... If you bet on yourself, you'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll wear these shoes. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to make this brand big. And so there's that. All right, keep going.
Oh, no, I mean, that was pretty much the end of it. Once they played Boston that first time and they won at the last second with a Michael Cooper layup that bounces around dramatically on the rim, that was good. That was good. I don't know that it actually happened that way, but that was a pretty good way to finish that. Because that's another kid that they hadn't done a whole lot with his character, but the little bit they have with Michael Cooper, they showed to him. Because I've met Mike Cooper a couple times. He don't seem to be this way. Obviously, I've met him 20, 30 years after this. So the way they portray him is just being, like, scared, not just trying to make the team. Has no confidence in himself. And and just worrying about this, that, and the other. And the funniest scene in the show was when him and I think it was Jamal Wilkes went to double Larry. And they say that Larry did this from time to time, so I'm sure that's why they threw this in here. He looks both of them and said, neither one of y'all can guard me. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do. And he said, I'm going to pump fake this thing, and spin, do this. And he spun right between them and laid up and scored. And they looked at each other like, did he just...
did that just happen?
That was pretty good.
So... Yeah, Bert was known. Allegedly, that's something that he needs to do his own story so we can know and not embellish it. So we can know how he really was. Because, you know, he tried to stay out of the limelight. Even when they would win championship, that's how he hurt his back. Instead of living a big life, he going to get out there cutting grass and stuff and hurt his back.
Yes, doing housework. Out there doing too much. Out there doing way too much. Yeah, but no, it's getting better with every episode. I'm enjoying the story as it's being told. And I've read Jeff Perlman's book, so I kind of am in lockstep with the book as it goes. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to see where they take that. They already have said that they're coming out with a season 2, so that'll be interesting. They must be HBO must be wanting to get to the LeBron years, because I don't know what else.
Right.
Maybe they're gonna
Did he get the HIV in the book?
So
after that, what?
And what I mean, you can tell that's the way season one is going to end because they started it by talking, you know, by going into the future and then going backwards. So, because, you know, the first thing they show.
That's right. Him at the press, at the doctor with, I guess, his agent or something.
Yep.
That's right. I forgot that.
So.
What about Moonlight?
Moonlight.
Night. Moonlights and the Moon Knights and all of that.
But hey, that's perfect for what this last episode did. They went, Khonshu, the god that is controlling this vessel, that's what they call it. They, you know, each god, the man a vessel. Well, each god has a avatar, is what they're calling it. So they got a bunch of Egyptian gods that you all meet in this episode, this last episode. But Khonshu is the one that's controlling Mark and Steven. And I don't think that Mark knew. I don't know actually when he found out he had split personality, but
it's social by identity disorder.
So Khonshu at the end of this last episode does a no-no, and he takes and he shows Steven how to basically reverse time. I mean, they sit out there and they reverse. You see the moon just. You see this light just flashing across the sky, and you realize it's the moon going back. So I don't know where this next episode is going to be, but apparently because he did that, he was cast into a stone by the rest of the gods. And Khonshu even tells Steven before the episode ends, he said, tell Mark to come in and release me. So basically Mark is the killer. And he's the killer of personality, so he's gonna have to play a role. I don't know if they're gonna keep. I'm assuming they're gonna still be allowed to summon the suit, even though Khonshu isn't there anymore. Where they summon that Moon Knight suit and do all this killing, but we are gonna see. It's getting.
Out here killing bad guys? What is he doing?
He's
when they take over his body.
It's mercenary work. So it's bad guys that he's out there doing. You know, people and hired him to kill.
Okay. So, how he wound up in that white suit?
Khonshu is supposedly giving him the power, and the only reason I think we see now because really, truthfully, Khonshu wants to take and use Mark's wife, girlfriend. I think she's his wife. But it might just be a girlfriend type thing. But I think Khonshu really wants her because she's bad, you know what. She can fight and she can hold her own. But I think Mark is keeping her at distance because he don't want her to be involved in this. So he's kind of like basically trying his best to keep her away from this whole thing because he knows that Khonshu really wants to take her over. But.
Oh, he wanted to get her body.
So
look. So have he demonstrated any of his gift? He's supposed to have enhanced strength during night, full moons, prophetic visions and dreams, and the ability to drain people's lives from them through physical contact. Or is that just a comic guy? Have he did any of this?
I don't know if that's what it really. I don't know if that's what they're portraying. They're
shooting for.
Yeah, I don't really know if that's what they're portraying or not.
Well, what's his power? How he out here killing people? He got to have something. He just killing people.
Well, see, the thing is, like, this is the first episode we actually saw him fight. Usually, it's a thing where they snap and Steven wakes up and all of a sudden everybody around him is laid out because. Mark has then taken over for a second and killed everybody in the area. So, yeah. This, and then Ethan Hawke's character is basically what got Khonshu messed up. Apparently, Ethan Hawke's character used to be who Khonshu used as an avatar. So, and he wound up being bad. So Khonshu left him and took over, you know, another avatar. But anyway, Ethan Hawke's character is trying to release a really bad god named Ahmet. And while he's in the process of doing that, Steven and Mark try to explain, Khonshu even try to explain to the rest of the Egyptian gods that that's what Ethan Hawke's character is trying to do. I can't think of his name right now, so I'm going to call him Ethan Hawke because that's his government name.
that's what I was going to ask. Who is the person that's playing Khonshu?
Yeah, I can't think his name. But so they even try to appeal to the Egyptian gods and let them know that this is what this guy is doing. And he basically tells them, no, I'm not. And they just believe him. So I think that's what's fixing the cause, Khonshu, to come back. It's when he releases this Ahmet god. They're going to need all hands on deck to help out against him. But episode 4, which is coming up.
They say Khonshu is voiced by F. Murray Abraham?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Okay, me neither. All right, go ahead. But I thought we were seeing an actual person.
This week, episode is supposed to be left on a huge cliffhanger. So I thought it was episode 3, the way episode 3 ended when they basically went back in time, or they alluded to the fact that they went back in time. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. I'm enjoying the newness and something different of it all that the show is bringing.
I didn't know they had Egyptian gods and stuff in that.
And they didn't have them all in attendance. That's one thing that they didn't make a big deal out of showing you. That they, when they were calling it all to order, and they were saying in attendance, and basically they made sure that you didn't see them all. So this could be a precursor to Thor, the new Thor movie, where Gore, the God Butcher, played by, what's the boy that played Bane on Batman?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Christian Bale is going to play Gore, the God Butcher, and they're saying that he could have been involved in killing some of the guys off, and that could be, you know, kind of a nod to what's going to happen in Thor.
So, Khonshu is a nocturnal god of the moon, god of vengeance, and shepherd of the lost.
Yes. and the reason he is kind of like a rebel of the gods in this whole little situation is because he believes, Khonshu, that is, believes that the rest of the gods have given up on humanity and they're not really protecting humanity like they're supposed to. And he's out there trying to, you know, do what's right for humanity. So he believes that they've basically given up on humanity. And the other gods are saying that humanity has given up on them. Well, they don't know about them. So how can they give up, you know? You know how this thing goes, but I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to see what's happening next, and where they're gonna take this whole time jump thing. We still have not got. Speaking of Thor 4, Thor: Love and Thunder, we have not gotten a trailer, and as of last week, the Thor: Love and Thunder has broken the record for least amount of time between your first teaser trailer and the opening night, because we still hadn't even gotten a teaser trailer for it yet. And the record, I didn't even know this, that the record was originally held, I thought, by, it had to be Infinity War or Endgame, because they were just trying to avoid spoilers. It's actually The Incredible Hulk, the one where they introduced Hulk way back.
The good one or the bad one?
This is the bad one. The one
with all them, the big dogs and stuff.
I don't remember.
The bad one is the one where the daddy lived in the desert. They showed the daddy was beating on.
Oh, no, no. This is the one that's actually part of the MCU. But
so it's the one with the scaly guy.
It's not played by Mark Ruffalo. It's played by the other guy.
Okay. That was the bad one.
They just replaced
him. When his dad was in the military. The girl's dad is in the military.
There you go. That's okay. It.
Yeah.
So, the record is broken and it's continuing to be broken. It might be shot out of sight. And they're saying that is this way because they don't want to spoil anything that's going to happen
in these other stories.
Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, because that's coming out May 6th. And apparently,
that's
going to have some spoilers for what's going down in Thor.
Some previews for Thor.
So interesting.
Speaking of the Moonlight, I'm just so we can educate the people a little bit.
The people, she meant Moon Knight for anybody.
Moon Knight, yeah. That did you know it take 8 minutes and 20 seconds for the sunlight to travel to Earth and for us to be able to see it.
I think I did know that at one time, but that's only because I took a class of astronomy in college, and that's the only thing I think I learned from that whole semester. Because when you said it, I would have never just known it just to say it out my mind, but when you said it, that jogged the memory, and I think that's the only thing I learned in that class.
8 minutes and 20 seconds. Brian, that God is amazing. All right, what about the other movie? Oh no, that was the two. Moonlight.
Yeah, Moon Knight, yes.
Dancing
in the Moonlight. Oh, I'm sorry. Winning Time and Moon Knight. Yes, that was my updates for that. You had an update on a TV show that you want to talk about.
Tokyo Vice. Check it out. It's loosely based on a journalist's experience being in Tokyo in the 90s. And wow, it's just like he trying to get into the underbelly and see what's happening. In the first episode, I'm not gonna give a lot away, but in the first episode, this man sets himself on fire, and it's just like, what? So he is an investigator, and he's trying to figure it out, and he go do some things, and he look up some things like, okay, he owes somebody money, then he go to this place and there's nothing, it's not a building there. And then he start asking questions and he was like, this man was murdered. And another man was murdered that had a sword sticking in him. You could see he didn't stick the sword or knife or whatever in himself. And he finds out, at least during that time in Tokyo, they don't call things murders. And he was like, what? He didn't stab himself. And so a lot of things happen. He's doing investigation. He's working. You have to take a whole, well, at the time to work, let's say for the Times, like a big paper, the Washington Post. It's hundreds of people in a room. It might be about 50, but anyway, it's a whole bunch of people in a room. And they have to answer all these questions trying to get a job at this prestigious newspaper in Tokyo. And he gets the job. But it's a mess because, you know, it's a bunch of people there. They got them doing grunt work, and it took forever for him to even get his first thing published. He's trying to befriend the police to find out what's really going on. And it's a lot. It's a good story, though, thus far. It should be about 5 episodes out. I don't know how many they're going to do.
And where can we find this?
On HBO Max.
HBO Max, okay.
Tokyo Vice.
Tokyo Vice. I'm gonna check this out.
It's good, Brian. I've been saving episodes because I was like, let me not just binge watch this because I want to be able to watch something the next weekend.
Well, I think that's gonna wrap it up for today's episode.
Okay, okay.
Next week, people, we will just have a special episode on basically a what ifs on the original Dream Team. So look forward to that on next Monday.
If you want to donate to the net thing, tell them the stuff, Brian.
Okay, yeah. Nothing But Net. 24 hours of Nothing But Net presented by Debbie Antonelli. If you would like to donate and read more about it, it's 24hoursmbn.com. That's 24 hours, the letter N. Letter B, letter N, .com. 24 hours of Nothing But Net, presented by Debbie Antonelli. Yes, we are getting ready to get hot and heavy on recording some pre-interviews for it. And looking forward to working it in May. May 14th and 15th, you can check it out live on YouTube and Facebook. 24 hours. nothing but net. DeVincenzo is going to make 100 free throws each hour on the hour. She's been shooting last 3 years. She has shot 92%, 93%, and 94% consecutively. So year four, we'll see if she can make it to 95%. But it gets rough around that 2 a.m. hour. It gets a little rough. Boy, that arm gets a little tired. Everybody's a little weary. But, you know, she pushes through. She's in training right now.
Well, tell Debbie I would like for her to stop being selfish and let other people get to participate.
I'm glad that you said this because this year, we are actually adding 6 other states to the marathon. And we will have actually 4 locations in the state of Texas. Uh-huh. And then we will add North Carolina, Minnesota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania. I know I'm leaving Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Yes. But no, we're in all together.
But is she still going to be trying to shoot 2,400 or is she going to let other people participate?
She will be the one shooting in South Carolina and each other state will have their own shooter.
So they all got to make 2,400, though. I'm saying split it up. Instead of shooting that, hey, you can shoot 500. I can shoot 500. We already at 1,000.
I think that that's slowly coming to a fruition. So
we all can get this done.
Yeah, so I think that's coming definitely in the next year or so.
Okay. I mean, hey, we work smarter, not harder. All right, we only had $13,000. Yeah, got a lot of ways to go in a month. Y'all gonna get there. All right, cool.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna be all right. We're gonna make it. But yes, 24 hours in MBN.com for your donations. Thank you. And on May 14th and 15th, you can watch live on YouTube and Facebook. And as we go on, I'll give the links for those as well. But yes, as always, I am one of your hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. God is good all the time, Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.